Our scripture reading this morning can be found in your pew Bibles on page 632, if you'd like to follow. Starting with Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. I'm sorry, that was 18. No, I'm sorry. That was right. I'm sorry, I'm old school text, not digital. And in Proverbs 18:24, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And then lastly, Proverbs 27, verses 5 and 6. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses.
Thank you, Dick. Appreciate you sharing just a brief reading this morning, because there's no passage to read, as very often with the book of Proverbs. You can't read it like a normal book. Oh, I took a photo then by accident. That was pointed at you, Dick, Rick. We'll get this right. What's happened here? Oh, there we go. See, we have trouble with digital as well. As the book of Proverbs is full of proverbs, obviously, and it's not like you read a narrative or other kinds of books. This is a book that you really should read one or two proverbs a day, and that's the whole idea. It's just little snapshots of truth and wisdom. And so today we're looking at, as we go through the book of Proverbs, we're looking at themes, that is, topics that are brought up as... Mainly it was Solomon, but it was others as well who wrote these Proverbs. And it shows you the course, the pathway of wisdom and the pathway of folly. And one of those topics and themes which we're looking at today is friendship. We are in a friend's church. So it's an ideal topic for us to talk about. Friends are so important. Wisdom in the book of Proverbs has to do with skills for living, and so people's skills are very much a part of that. Carole King, if you lived through the 60s and 70s and enjoyed the music of that time, you remember Carole King singing, you just call out my name and you know wherever I am, I'll come running to see you again, winter, spring, summer or fall. All you've got to do is call and I'll be there. Yes, I will. You've got a friend. And so friendship is like that. It's real. It's where two people connect in a way that they are there for one another, and they have a relationship where they're committed to one another. But in a world where friendship, true, deep, good friendship is pretty hard to find, you can get some cynical and disillusioned lyrics, like the sad lyrics of Paul Simon's song, where Simon and Garfunkel sang, I've built walls, a fortress deep and mighty, that none can penetrate. I have no need of friendship. Friendship causes pain. Its laughter and its loving I disdain. I am a rock. I am an island. What a contrast. Do you have a friend? I get a feel that perhaps a lot of the ladies, a lot of the women folk will say, yes, 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 I've got number of friends. And the guys say, oh yeah, I suppose I've got a couple of, we'd say mates in Australia. Maybe I'm wrong, but I tend to feel that the female of the species tends to be more connecting with friends. Am I wrong? Tell me afterwards. Nothing can add more to your life than having truly intimate, solid, good friends. In a day of superficial friendships, quality friendships are pretty high cost. They demand a high cost. You've got to give time and energy to it, but they have great rewards. Nothing outside of our relationship with God, which in effect is a friendship, nothing outside of that can add more to your life than having friends. And if you are poor, but you have a really good friend, then you're rich. But if you are rich and you don't have any friends, then you're poor. We were created by God for relationship, for companionship. With Him, yes, but with each other. Sin has spoiled everything, of course. Our relationship with God and our relationship with others has been spoiled by sin, but God created us that way. Remember when God said after He created Adam, it is not good for man to be alone. And so He created Eve, and together they made one unit. And so we have God creating us in that way, because relationship is implicit. It's part of human life and existence. And in today's society, it's becoming increasingly difficult to find a true friend. Carl Jung writes that the central neurosis of today's culture is loneliness, or aloneness. It may not be loneliness, it might be just aloneness, where you feel alone, where you are alone. A novelist, Thomas Wolfe, writes, loneliness, far from being a rare and curious phenomenon, is the central and inevitable fact of human existence. We said goodbye at a memorial service here yesterday to Marilyn Bolan, who many of you would not know because they attended and were married here years and years and years ago. And I thought about that. I thought, you know, her relationship with Vern was so, so close all through. They did so much together. But when she faced death, she was alone. Not, was she? No. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me, even in death. But it left Vern alone. And some of us have experienced that aloneness. May not be lonely, but aloneness. But the American culture, like the Australian culture, is moving further and further towards social isolation. And the digital age doesn't help with that. So much so that now you have rent a friend. You know, you can rent a friend. Come over, it's platonic. You play cards together, you cook a meal together, you go for a walk together or a bike ride, and you do stuff together, and you pay the guy or girl like $100 a day or whatever it might be to be your friend. So you've got a friend. And this is actually huge in Japan, where it is a social big thing to have a friend. Well, we haven't looked at a proverb yet, but we're getting there. There are different levels of friendship, because I feel it's important to lay some foundations about friendship here. There are different levels. There's a fair-weathered friend. Those friends, when everything's good and everything's fine, they're there, and when all is well, they're right beside you. But the moment things get difficult, you don't see them. Fair-weathered friends, that's not friendship. There's Christmas card friends, like the guy who told his wife, "Honey, I've lost the Christmas card list, and now I don't know who our friends are." And that's very similar to Facebook friends. You know, we get invitations. Marg and I share a Facebook profile. It frustrates Marg because it was really hers, and I've sort of motored in on it. But anyway, and these people ask us to be their friend. I said, we hardly know them. Like, we might have bumped into them back in 1982. And they want to be our friend. They're not our friend. So we don't say yes to them. Other people who are not our friends, but they are, there's been a kind of a relationship with them in the past, then we say yes to that. But Facebook friends. Then there's the circle of friends. That is like in a church or a club or a community or that kind of thing, where you have a circle of friends where you hang together, do stuff together occasionally, but it's not really deep and real, genuine, close friendship. So the last one is close or special friends. There is no substitute for a friend. I thought you'd like that. All you animal lovers. I've got a few there. You might see a couple of giraffes later, if you haven't seen them already. But anyway, you Google images and look for animal friends, and you come up with all these wonderful pictures. Anyway, so three things I want to talk about. The first one is, how do we define a good friendship? And then I will look at how to discover a good friend, how to find one, and then how to develop or maintain a good friendship. So first, how do we define a good friendship? What is involved in being a true friend? First of all, and above everything else, must be loyalty. If I am your friend and you are my friend, there is a loyalty there in that relationship. As it says in Proverbs 18:24 that we had read to us, it says there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. A man of many or a woman of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And I know we apply that to Jesus, and rightfully so, because ultimately that speaks of him, but it doesn't in the proverb. It's talking about there are multitude of people who, like Facebook friends, they're your friends, and so on, but there is a friend. There's a kind of friend who sticks closer than even a blood relative, a brother or a sister. That's the kind of friend that we're talking about here. He sticks or she sticks closer than a brother. That there's that commitment, there's that loyalty to one another in this friendship. And so he's talking there about that. And in Proverbs 27:10, do not forsake your friend and the friend of your father. Loyalty. Loyalty involves three things. First of all, obviously, commitment. David and Jonathan are a perfect example in the Old Testament story of them. Even though there was a rivalry between King David who became king, and Saul, Jonathan's father, still they bonded into a very special relationship of friendship and were committed to one another, to being with each other and standing beside and behind each other in the challenges of life. I heard of two guys in Australia who were in the armed force, and they were buddies. I would say mates over there, but they were buddies and were soldiers fighting in Afghanistan. And one of them, they got separated in the skirmish or whatever was happening there, and one of them was shot and injured, and unbeknownst to others, it was in a place where he wasn't seen. And then his buddy realized that he hadn't come back and he was not around, so he went looking for him, and he looked until he found this guy bleeding but okay in a place. So he grabbed him, and as he was grabbing him, his mate said these words, "I knew you'd come, Jim. I knew you'd come. I knew that because we are so good friends, that we're buddies, we're mates, we would do that for each other. I would do it for you, you would do it for me. I knew it. You'd come for me." That's the kind of loyalty, that's the kind of commitment that we're talking about. Acceptance is the next thing. That I accept you as a friend, warts and all. I accept you. And I'm not going to try and change you. I might dig you in the ribs a bit, and I might say a few things, we'll come to that later, but hey, I still accept you as you are, warts and all. I love you as a friend. And then there's equality. That there's no domineering. There's no one person taking the lead over the friendship and trying to lead it in some way. That we are friends together. As someone anonymous has written, "Don't walk in front of me. I might not follow. Don't walk in front of me. I might not follow. Don't walk behind me. I might not lead. Walk beside me and be my friend." That's the first one, loyalty. Secondly, there is care. There is a love relationship, a platonic friendship love relationship, where it says in Proverbs 17:17, "A friend loves at all times." In fact, if you look at what the book of Proverbs and the rest of the Bible teaches about friendship, it has very much to do with love. And so, as Walter Minchell wrote, "A friend is one who walks in when others walk out." I like that. Secondly is care. Then thirdly is transparency and honesty. Now, this is a part of friendship that sometimes is difficult, a little bit prickly at times, but it's important. That if I am not willing to really open up and be transparent and be honest with my friend, well, then the friendship level is way down low. It's not up high. The kind of friendship we're talking about here is a friendship where you're willing to open up to one another and be honest with one another. As Oscar Wilde wrote, "A true friend always stabs you in the front." And so there's a number of proverbs about this. In Proverbs 27, 5 and 6, we read, "Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses." Wounds from a friend, or "faithful are the wounds of a friend," another version has it, "but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." In Proverbs 27 we read, "Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of one's friend springs from his or her earnest counsel." So that you appreciate your friend saying, "Keith, when will you stop talking about yourself? When will you stop being so self-important?" "Oh, yeah, I need to hear that. Thank you. Seriously, thank you. Because you are my friend. I value our relationship." If my enemy told me that, if somebody who I knew, no, just doesn't have any time for me, says that to me, then I'll be angry probably. I'll be upset. But if my close confidant friend tells me, I'll listen. My best friend is my wife. In fact, when we first got married, we had, they used to have, I don't know whether you had it here, but in New Zealand where we were at the time, in the paper every day there was a Love Is cartoon. Did you have Love Is cartoons here? Love Is. Well, we had one put up on our wall that was Love Is being married to your best friend. And I like that. Because it's true. You can't get better than being married to someone that you love, but who is also your best friend. So perfume and incense bring joy, so does somebody's earnest counsel, your friend's earnest counsel. And then in Proverbs 28:23, we read, "Whoever rebukes a man will afterward find more favor than he who flatters with his tongue." So initially there may be a bit of response, negative response if you rebuke or you speak straight to somebody, but in the end they will appreciate it more than somebody who flatters you, and it's just empty talk. There's great wisdom in the Proverbs, aren't there? You could take one of these Proverbs with you through the week and think about it and mull over it and apply it to your life so easily. The fourth area, is trust. That you keep confidence with one another. Good friends never break a confidence. In fact, there's great honor and respect shown when you are willing to or share things that are in confidence with your friend and they are willing to share it with you. So it elevates your friendship to a very high level of trust. And that is so important not to break, because once that is broken, that trust, it'll never ever get back to the level it was before. Then the sensitivity, that you are sensitive to the other person's concerns and personality and situation or whatever it might be. So whoever sings songs, it says, to a heavy heart is like one who takes off a garment on a cold day, or like vinegar on soda. You mix vinegar on soda, it's neutralized by the washing soda, and so it has no value. And so you have that proverb. We need compassion with one another, to be sensitive to what something might, how it might affect the other person who's your friend. We're not cops, nor should we have a cop mentality. Sometimes love is better served by silence. Sometimes we need to be just empathetic and not preach a sermon at them. A good friend learns how to balance both confrontation and compassion. All right, so the second point is that how do we discover then a good friendship? How do you start? If you want to build a friend, you want to find a friend. So how do you go about it? Well, the Proverbs, when they talk about this, talk about being careful. There's warnings, there's take care. Proverbs 12:27-26. A righteous man is cautious in friendship, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. We need to get to know them, that's pretty obvious. There is a chemistry with friends, just as in a love relationship, and therefore contact with other people is the first building block of friendship. To get to know them, to find out if there is any chemistry, if there is anything that clicks in your relationship with that person. And go for coffee or go for a walk or do whatever. Spend time in the garden with them if they're into gardening or whatever it might be. Just find times to build and see if a relationship develops by spending time with them. Get to know them. Be careful in two. There are two dangers. One is that there's some people, whether it's you or they, have such a huge need to be fulfilled by having a friend, that they can come with that need to be met as the primary purpose of the friendship. And therefore, they can be very overbearing and controlling and possessive in friendship. So be aware of that, but also not a friendship based on money. And there's a number of proverbs about that. One is Proverbs 19, verses 4 and 6 to 7. Wealth brings many friends, but a poor man's friend deserts him. Many curry favor with a ruler, and everyone is the friend of a man who gives gifts. Remember the prodigal son? He got all this wealth from his father, half the value of all that was going to be left to him. And he took, all that was going to be left to him in his the father's will once he died. He went off to a far country, and he riotous living. He was living it up. He had all these friends, and they used to dance the night away and get involved in anything money could buy, and he lived it up. Then what happened? He ran out of money for one thing, but also there was a famine. And you know what it says? Jesus speaking, he says that when this happened, he began to be in need, and you know, he got a job working in the pigsty of a farmer in the land there, and he longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. Huh? I thought he had all these friends. He had friends when he had money, but they all deserted him. And praise God they did, because he then went back to his father. So get to know them. Secondly, choose wise friends. It says, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. And then how do you choose friends? Well, we've sort of alluded to this already. There has to be a connection. We have to find somebody with similar interests, somebody who's open to your friendship. You might start moving towards someone thinking, I'd love to be that person's friend, but you find that, oh yeah, there's a sort of a relationship, but they seem to be unwilling to take it any further than just, hey, let's have a coffee together. So you need to find a connection that goes deeper than that. There needs to be chemistry. There needs to be some sort of clicking with that person, and there needs to be convictions that are similar. If you have vastly different values to that person that's your friend, there's going to be conflict and there's going to be a lack of respect. You cannot respect somebody who believes that when you are so strongly believing this. It makes it very difficult. And finally, the third point is, how do we then develop or maintain a good friendship? Three things: time, talk, and trust. Time, talk, and trust. A man, says Samuel Johnson, a man or a woman must keep his friendships in constant repair. If you don't give time, talk, and trust to a friendship, it won't go anywhere. So first of all, time. I want to relate this to the church. I was speaking to the senior pastor of the Church of Christ in a suburb of Melbourne that's a fairly go-ahead church, and we're talking about the back door, how people leave, that they come and they go out the back door, they come and they go out the back door. And there was this flow, and most churches find that you have a flow and people go out the back door. Well, and he said the biggest thing he found was that when people connected and made a friend, not just that it was a friendly church, but made a friend in the church, they stayed. So it's not enough to be friendly, it is to be building relationships with people, give time to that. Find ways to connect. Guys, girls know how to do that. Guys, think of golf. Think of watching football. Think of fishing. Think of that kind of stuff. Girls, just get on the phone. You're good at that. You know what? How many of you guys have called somebody to say, one of your other guys in the church, let's say, or a friend, I just want to call you and chat. Let's talk. What? Guys don't do that. But there is a difference in the genders, and that's one of them. So we need to give time. We need to talk. We need to build relationships by talking with one another. And part of talking is listening. You know, every time I read a book, I only remember normally one thing out of that book. It's funny. It's just a weird thing. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. But anyway, I read Dale Carnegie's famous book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, years ago when I was a sales trainee learning to be a salesman. And as I read the book, I remember one thing that stood out to me and it stayed with me ever since. And it's seriously good wisdom. Talk to someone about themselves and they'll listen for hours. In other words, what stuck with me was that it's not, they don't want to hear about you, they want you to hear about them. So I've put a quote down there from his book. You can make more friends in 2 months by becoming interested in other people than you can in 2 years of trying to get other people interested in you. That's such good wisdom. He also said, a royal road to a person's heart is to talk about what he or she treasures the most. So we sat at a table there yesterday with some people we didn't know, who used to come to this church, by the way, years ago. And they now live up in Kokomo. And talked about their grandchildren. Oh, yes.
That was
a cinch. That was easy. They got straight into it and talked all about the grandchildren. And so you know, you can soon pick up things that people are really passionate about or interested in, or you can guess and see if it works. But when you get them talking about something that they treasure, they'll talk to you about it forever. And they'll say, what a wonderful conversation that was. Seriously. So listen, not only talk, but listen. And then thirdly, trust. Reciprocal confidence, as we've talked about before a little earlier. Self-disclosure is a vital part for that. So I'm willing to open up. I might have to take the initiative in this relationship to talk about things I'm struggling with or my concerns or my sins. No, I don't have any sins. No, I won't talk about that because I don't have any, right? No. We all struggle with sin. So, but not that we'll talk about putting our dirty washing out, but that we'll be willing to be really honest and transparent with them and start that whole process. Then you'll find they will be willing to talk about themselves, and so the level of the relationship will go up quite a notch. I can't emphasize that more, to be transparent in your and trusting in your relationship without being judgmental. When you're judgmental in a relationship, the moment that happens, the door is slammed. And above all, if you're looking to build a friendship and maintain a friendship, pray. Pray that God will bring a true friend into your life if you believe you need that. So, who is the truest friend? And we talked about that earlier with this verse, that there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Jesus. When you think about it, why would he want to be my friend? I mean, I can understand him saving me because the thought of me spending an eternity of separation from God in place of outer darkness, as Jesus spoke about, it would move anyone with any ounce of love to try and save us, and that's what Jesus did. He died to save us. But to be our friend, to be my friend, to walk with me, to talk, to engage with me in life and be there for me? Yeah. Remember when the Apostle Paul was put on trial before Caesar and all his friends hightailed it out of there and weren't there with him? And he says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says, he wasn't angry. He said, the Lord stood by me and strengthened me. The Lord was my friend. Irish-born Joseph Scriven, back in the 1800s, at the age of 25, the day before his wedding, his fiancée died. She drowned. Heartbroken. He left Ireland and he went to Canada. And after some years, he fell in love again. And once again, however, she died before the wedding could take place. Unbelievable. Around the same time that his second fiancée died, he received word from his mother in Ireland that she was gravely ill. And he couldn't go there to be with her, so he wrote a letter of comfort and enclosed one of his poems. He never married. He lived alone. 30 years later, he was gravely ill himself, and a friend was sitting with him, and the friend found this poem beside the bed, the one he'd sent to his mom. And he read it through, and he said, this has to be published. This is so good. That this man wrote that poem, which was put to music that we all sing and we're going to sing now. The sad, obscure life of one man living alone, but knowing that he has a friend in Jesus. All my sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do your friends despise, forsake you? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms, he'll take and shield you. You will find a solace there. Let's sing this wonderful poem as a praise and affirmation of our loving Lord who is our friend.